practice one, you'll hear an introduction of courses at the orientation meeting. First, you'll have some time to look at questions 1 to 10. Now listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 10.
Welcome to Orientation Week. This is the Physics School session and we'll welcome Professor Smith, the head of the school, to introduce you the tutorial system. Welcome, Professor Smith.
Thank you. You may have noticed life at university is totally different from that of school. For you, tutorials are an important part of the teaching programme. Tutors are the primary contact between undergraduate students and the school. A tutor is the student's personal tutor as well as their academic tutor. Tutorials for physics undergraduate consists of 6 students who meet each week with their tutor for at least 50 minutes. For radiography students, tutorials will normally consist of a group of about 10 students who will meet fortnightly with their tutor for a period of at least 50 minutes. In the first semester, the tutorials are during weeks 1 to 11. For semester 2, they are during weeks 14 to 24. Everybody involved is expected to be present and on time. And the tutor will also be available in week 12 and 25 to discuss problems that arise during revision. But attendance by students is optional.
Now I'm going to introduce you to the stages and activities of the tutorials. The introduction period is from week 1 to 3. I know that a significant minority of you will experience culture shock during your first few months at our university, and the important function of this stage is to identify students who are having difficulty integrating into the academic program. In particular, tutors should check your attendance of lectures, tutorials, laboratories, and this sort of thing. Tutors also help you tackle work in a systematic and effective manner. Stage 2 begins from the 4th week. Some tutorials of this period are to be devoted to discussion or going over the students' lecture notes. But approximately 50% of tutorial time is to be devoted to coursework. You should finish the weekly homework assignments of 2 hours duration with at least 50% involving written work. At least 8 homework assignments during the year should involve answering problems set on coursework. The written work collected by the tutor should be marked within a week of handing in. And generally, the assignments should be graded. The third stage starts from week 8 till the 10th. During this period, math and 4 core physics programs are included. The majority of tutorial time should be devoted to work which supports the lecture programs and laboratory work. At least 60% of homework assignments should involve written work. The assignment may involve writing an account of or notes on a specified range of topics. The written work should also be marked and graded. Short oral presentations by students should be included. They are possibly on general physics topics or essays. The last week's personal development planning is a structured and supported process. The primary objective for PDP is to help you become more independent and confident, self-directed learners, and encourage a positive attitude towards learning throughout life. It is undertaken by yourselves to reflect upon their own learning performance and achievement, and to plan for their personal, educational, and career development. Finally, if, without evidence of good reason, you miss more than 2 sessions during a semester, or if the tutor is not satisfied with your progress, the matter must be immediately referred to the program director, who will normally issue formal warning, verbal and written. This will inform you that your place at university is under threat of withdrawal if no improvement is made.
Practice 2. You'll hear a lecture about the field trip to Ho Chi Minh City. First, you have time to look at questions 1 to 5. Now listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 5.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the second year of your teaching degree. My name is Simon Taylor. I'm a second year lecturer in the education faculty. Today, I'll be giving you an overview of the field trip to Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, that you all registered for at the end of last year. As many of you will be aware, the field trip is offered to student teachers in the second year of the teaching degree. The trip replaces the 3-week practical teaching placement in the second semester, but please don't get the impression that the trip will be a holiday. In fact, you will do the same amount of work in Vietnam as your peers do in Australia. You will still complete 3 weeks practice teaching, but in a Vietnamese school rather than an Australian one. Each week, you will need to teach 10 hours and observe at least 10 hours. Your class supervisor will be the student's normal teacher, and so will most probably be Vietnamese. You will need to fit in with what the class supervisor asks you to teach and follow any instructions they may give you in terms of teaching methodology. You might find this difficult at first, especially if what the class supervisor asks you to do contradicts the methodology we have taught you here. But remember that whatever happens, it will be a learning experience. Actually, in past field trips, the Vietnamese supervisors have not interfered at all, and our student teachers have found them very supportive. You will be placed in classes at the University of Education, Ho Chi Minh City. This is the largest teaching training institution for secondary teachers in the south of Vietnam. The section of the university that you'll be working in is the Centre for Foreign Languages. This is the largest English language centre in the country and enrols up to 40,000 students across 12 campuses at any one time. The students in this section of the university are in fact not trainee teachers, but members of the public who pay fees to study English. The language centre runs in 3 shifts of 4 hours each day. They are from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. and 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. So each student will be in class for 4 hours in the morning, afternoon or evening, but they don't study every day. Classes run 3 times a week on Monday, Wednesday and Friday, which the Vietnamese call the odd days, or on Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday, the even days. You will teach 2 hours of the morning shift each day, except Saturday. You'll have 2 groups of students, one group on the even days and the other on the odd days. If you would like to get out your blank timetables, I'll tell you your teaching commitments.
Now look at questions 6 to 10. Now listen carefully and answer the questions 6 to 10.
On Monday, you'll observe your first group, which we'll call Group A, for the first 2 hours, then teach from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Apart from Wednesday, you'll be free during the afternoon shift to prepare your lessons. In the evening on Monday, there'll be an official welcoming dinner put on by the university. On Tuesday, you'll observe your second group, Group B, from 7 a.m. till 9 a.m. and then teach the rest of the lesson. In the evening, we will go out to dinner together on a floating restaurant. On Wednesday, you'll observe Group A from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. but before that, you'll teach them for 2 hours from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. of course, A few of the students are planning to take you on a tour of the city in the afternoon, and will then take them out for dinner in the evening. On Thursday, it will be Group B again. You'll teach them from 7 a.m. till 9 a.m. and observe from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. As yet, we haven't made any plans for the evening meal on Thursday. Friday, you'll teach from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and observe from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. But for that time, it's Group A for the first 2 hours and Group B for the next 2 hours. In the evening, we will travel by bus to Vung Tau, which is a seaside city a couple of hours out of Ho Chi Minh City. We'll be staying in Vung Tau over the weekend, so Saturday and Sunday will of course be free. In the classes you'll be teaching, there could be up to 70 students, and the furniture, which consists of long benches, cannot be moved. So setting students into small discussion groups is quite difficult, but not impossible. We'll talk more about some strategies for teaching large classes in our tutorials before the field trip. Well, I think that's all I have to say at present about the field trip. Kathy Jones is here now to talk about the non-teaching arrangements, such as your accommodation, sightseeing, and so on.
Practice 3. You'll hear a conversation between Astrid and Henry about the lecture they've just heard. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 4. Now listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 4.
Henry, don't you think Dr. Adams's lecture was really very good? He could talk about the telephone directory and make it interesting.
All his lectures are like that, Astrid. He's just one of those people. I wish we had him as our tutor.
I bet you that he is very demanding, though. Boris is in his tutorial group and agrees that he is brilliant, but he puts them under a lot of pressure.
But don't you think that's good?
Perhaps. Anyway, he's interesting and rather funny.
Did you take lots of notes in the lecture?
Yes, actually I did. In fact, several pages. I didn't think I had taken so many.
I was busy listening to what was being said, so I didn't take many notes. Can I photocopy yours?
I don't think that's such a good idea. You won't be able to read my handwriting, and sometimes I write them in English and sometimes in Arabic.
Oh, let's have a look. Wow, your notes are so neat. There's not much Arabic.
There is on this page.
Yes, there is. Dr. Adams will be pleased to see this, especially given what he's talking about. Now look at questions 5 to 10. Now listen carefully and answer the questions 5 to 10.
Don't you keep careful notes?
Sometimes. It depends on the lecture. I don't think I'll forget Adam's lecture today, but some of the detail will fade.
I type up everything afterwards so you can have a copy then, and you can fill in everything I have missed. I'm not so good on the broader concepts. I'm better when it comes to detail.
Just what Adams was talking about.
Well, I am definitely a detailed person. I need to have everything written down before I can get the concepts clear in my head.
And I am the complete opposite. I find all the detail clutters up my mind and I get very frustrated. Which was just what he was on about. He mentioned a book he had written.
He mentioned several.
The one on space and individual.
Yes, called MySpace. It's on the book list.
So it is. I think I'll get that out of the library or get my own copy.
Did you get what he said about spatial awareness? I didn't really.
Yes, it was fascinating. I can't be as eloquent as Adams was, but I know several people who are frighteningly intelligent, but they have difficulty reading simple directions, even when getting to places that they know very well.
I find that difficult to understand. Everyone learns the way to talk to the shops and things like that.
You mean just the way people learn spelling? You know, people misspell words, make mistakes in countless areas of their lives, and going in the right direction is just the same. Remember what Adams said about the number of people who cannot tell left from right, north from south, and so on? Do you know which way is north?
It's, that way.
You see, I couldn't have told you that.
Really?
I haven't a clue which way is which. That's why I'm always getting lost when I go out on my bike. And put me in a completely new place, and I'm totally lost.
What about maps?
I'm hopeless at reading them.
But then you're brilliant at writing essays and getting all the ideas down in the right order, and I don't know where to start.
Again, just what Adams was talking about. What we need to do is combine our skills. You teach me to cope with detail, and I'll teach you how to string concepts together.
Okay, we can do that.